called Kathy up, and if she did not get the scripture that I mailed because she was on vacation until this morning. So God bless her. Last minute reading.
Payback.
Okay.
Today's scripture, the first story, is the parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from? And an enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. But both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" The second part of the scripture is the parable of the weeds explained. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. Disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of their teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let them hear." This is the reading of the Lord.
Thank you. I messed up the scripture again this week, didn't I? I didn't.
Was it me?
No, it was me. I didn't have the... You did great. Yeah, it was your fault. I'm looking at the platform on the right, and it should have been over on the left. I think I'm ready for vacation. Version was just a little bit different. I gave her my old Bible, the New International. Not New International, was just slightly different. Now, people saw this title. People asked me, "Are you trying to get people to weed around the church?" I said, "You know, that's not a bad idea." So it kind of prompted me. Zenon and I came down yesterday, and I weeded two wheelbarrow fulls of weeds in between the sidewalks. And then I had my clippers and saws, and I went down. Once it started raining real hard, I wanted to get this done. Those sticker trees, I call them, I don't know what they are, but they were growing into the fence around where the ornamental grass is, so I cut those down to stop that. And I could cut one off about that tall, and I said, "You know, I need to cut that off at the root, you know, down at the very trunk, so it won't grow and start spreading." So I got my saw and started sawing, and all of a sudden the bees that are underground came up. So I got popped on the face a bunch of times, and I wish somebody had a camera. You know, when some bees are chasing you, you look like an idiot running. Oh, you gotta laugh. You gotta laugh. I just couldn't help but think if somebody's riding by and saw me. Last week we talked about planting seeds. This week we're talking about pulling weeds. The two do go together. Every gardener knows that planting seeds is the easy part of having a successful garden. It's much more time consuming to weed that same garden, and it's hard work. As someone has said, when weeding, the best way to make sure that you are removing a weed and not a valuable plant is to pull on it. If it comes out of the ground easily, it's a valuable plant. And there's a corollary to this truth. To distinguish flowers from weeds, simply pull up everything, and what grows back are weeds. Some of you can relate to one own homemaker who wrote, "I don't do windows. I love birds, and I don't want a bird to run into a clean window and get hurt. I don't wax floors because I'm terrified a guest will slip and get hurt, and I'll feel terrible, plus they might sue me. I don't disturb cobwebs because I want every creature to have a home of its own. I don't spring clean because I love all the seasons and don't want the other three seasons to get jealous." Women, you'll like this one. "I don't put things away because my husband will never be able to find them again. I don't do gourmet meals when I entertain because I don't want my guests to stress out over what I make when they invite me over for dinner. And I don't iron because I choose to believe them when they say permanent press. And finally, I don't pull weeds in the garden because I don't want to get in God's way. He is an excellent designer." I doubt really that anyone, most of us don't like pulling weeds. For some, it's therapeutic just to work in the garden, even pulling weeds. In today's lesson, Jesus tells a parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, don't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servant asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.' Then Jesus left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.'" On the surface, there's not much to be said, really, about this parable, except make sure you're not a weed. Because one day the weeds will be thrown into the fiery furnace, and the weeds are all those who do evil. Now that's a little disconcerting to me. All who do evil. It's kind of scary. Where does God draw the line on all who do evil? Is it murderers and rapists and thieves? Does fibbing on your tax returns count? How about gossiping? What about those who ignore their neighbors who are in need? How about those who give only a pittance to God after God has been so generous to them? Where's the line drawn? Could it be that Paul was right when he said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? Of course he was. What is our hope then? Is it not that the blood of Christ covers all of our sins? We certainly have to hope so. I don't know about you, but the fiery furnace does not appeal to me. And if that day comes when God begins pulling weeds, I certainly don't want to depend on my own holiness, my own righteousness, my own good works, or my own virtues. Pulling weeds is an important part of a successful life. There was an interesting report in the news sometimes back. It was about an event designed for college students. The purpose was to get them to take weeds seriously. One pundit called it the World Series of Weeds and the Hula Bowl of Herbicides. Agriculture students from universities in the U.S. and Canada competed in being able to identify weeds and then to prescribe the right chemicals to kill them. They need to be able to recognize weeds when they're tiny, said James Worthington of Western Kentucky University. He's the president of the North Central Weed Science Society. When weeds get big enough that anybody can recognize them, then it's usually too late to do anything about these weeds. I think that's a very important statement. When weeds get big enough that anybody can recognize them, it's too late to do anything about them. How many parents have been too late recognizing the weeds growing in the life of the young person? Weeds like drugs, or depression, or running with the wrong crowd. For that matter, how many adults have recognized too late that vices like alcohol, or tobacco, or gambling, or drugs, or sex, or shopping, or some other addiction has them in their grasp? Or even more likely, negative attitudes, bitterness, resentment, bigotry. We don't like to talk too much about these things in church. We don't want to sound judgmental. But maybe we should talk more about the weeds as part of the human existence. Lives are still being destroyed on a daily basis. Hearts are still being broken. Relationships are being torn apart because of the weeds, which are sins in our life. And here's the sad thing. The people whose lives are being choked by these weeds are, for the most part, not bad people. They're good people who simply weren't vigilant about pulling out the weeds when they were just beginning to grow and form in their lives. You may have read about a 61-year-old Massachusetts grandmother who ended up in a mess of trouble. It was her first day on a new job as a school bus driver, and she had already picked up all the kids, and she made some wrong turns. She was in Massachusetts, ended up in Connecticut. Well, they called the police, and then they called the FBI. Thought that she had kidnapped these kids. After finally locating the lady and interrogating her, the police said, and the FBI agents concluded that she had made wrong turns and had simply lost her way. So they released her. A few wrong turns. That happens in life all the time. It happens to good people. A few bad judgments, and suddenly you are lost, entangled, trapped in the weeds, a golfer might say. Sometimes much is at stake, a marriage, your health, the safety of others around you. Pulling weeds is an important part of a successful Christian life. And here's the second thing we need to see. God is our Savior. You might not think so after reading this parable. God really sounds here like He's eager to destroy us when we do wrong. However, if you read this parable to say that God is a vengeful judge, I think you're missing a very important truth here. The last thing God wants to do is destroy us. God makes us mindful of the weeds growing in our lives that God might deliver us from these weeds. In a sermon on the internet, Reverend Sharon G.W. Jones tells about a scene in a book by author James Michener, I think helps us immensely here. Are you familiar with the concept of a recording angel? In the doctrine of some churches, this is the angel that writes down all the bad things that you and I do in order that they can be recorded so that God one day can mete out our punishment to us. Mr. in one of his first novels, The Fires of Spring, tells about a couple who are burdened with a load of guilt from their past. They wander into a Quaker meeting and they sit with the others for what seems like hours, waiting for something to happen. Finally, an elderly man stands up and speaks and he says, "The most misleading concept in religion is that of the recording angel. I cannot believe that our God cares to remember a single incident of our lives. Rather, I am the recording angel. My spirit and my body are the record. My good deeds show in me, and my wrong deeds can never be hidden. My spirit grows to fullness or declines to nothing. God has no need of recording devices. We must not think of God as a vengeful or as a record keeper, because God has created a better instrument. God has made me. God only needs only to look at me, and all is recorded in me. The man goes on to conclude that with God's permission, we have the privilege of erasing our past mistakes. I love that. God offers us redemption, forgiveness, the opportunity to make a fresh start in our lives by forgiving our past sins and by opening up our lives to wisdom and love and mercy. And that's a very powerful thought. God has no need for a recording angel. Our own bodies and our own soul tells the story of how we have lived. Missionary and best-selling author E. Stanley Jones said practically the same thing some years back. He said that God does not need to punish us for our sins. Our bodies and souls carry within them the record of our sins. We do not break the Ten Commandments. We break ourselves upon the Ten Commandments. God has no desire to destroy us. God is our Savior. God offers us forgiveness and the opportunity to start over. God's only desire is to set us free from the mess we've made of our lives. It's like a man who was one day walking through a park and he noticed a massive oak tree. And he noticed all the vines growing up it that were killing the tree. And one day, the park came by and the workers cut these vines down at the roots. And you could see those vines beginning to die. No longer would those roots and those vines be choking that tree to death. That's what sin and the weeds of our life do. They choke us. They keep us from the potential for who God has called us to be as Christians. And we need to cut those vines away. And God is the gardener who wants to pull the weeds away and out of our lives. It's not God's will that any of His children should suffer. God wants to help, regardless of what a mess we have made in our lives. It's never too late to stop and say, God, forgive me. Help me now, right now. God can turn the mess you've made into a masterpiece. This is the meaning of the cross. God wants to save us from the power of sin, here and now in this world and in the world to come. To many people, the cross is only about getting into heaven. They miss the glory of God's plan, the glory of God's purpose for here on earth, living the abundant, Spirit-filled Christian life. The reason God hates sin is that it hurts God's children, and it hurts our relationship with Him and with one another. All the sins that destroy people, destroy families, destroy relationships, destroy human potential, God wants to pull them out and throw them into the fire. That is what the cross is all about. God wants to restore His beautiful creation that God intended at the very beginning for it and us to be. I think God would like for us to be able to go back to the Garden of Eden when everything was innocent before sin. But the world as God created it to be, a world without pain or suffering or hatred or violence or envy or greed. A world where people love and are loved without being used, without having their hearts and their lives broken because of the actions of others or the weaknesses within their own heart and soul and mind. That is the world that God wants for all of us. My friends, we live in a broken world. It is broken. And we cannot expect things to be perfect in this world ever again. But we can make a start in that direction. And we do that by making our way to the foot of the cross, where we as individuals and as a church kneel at the foot of the cross in deep contrition. And we ask God to pull any of the weeds that may be growing in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds. They may be weeds of bitterness. They may be weeds of envy, or lust, or pride, or jealousy, the list can go on and on and on. You know which weeds are growing in your life. You know which weeds are choking out your spirit and your closeness to God. You know it better than any of us others know. So let God throw them in the fire. Let God consume them. God is our Savior. God is our Redeemer. God is the Master Gardener of our lives. Let God put the garden of your life in perfect order again. At the end of days, we need to make sure that we are the wheat and that we are not the weeds. The wheat will be taken into heaven. The weeds, the evildoers, will be bundled up and thrown into the fire. May God bless you. Amen.